And now, Variety Bites with Sean Williams and Travis Smith.
What's up, people? This is Variety Bites. I am Sean Williams. And with me, as always, is Mr. T5 himself, Travis Smith. Doing things a little differently tonight because, well, we're only going to be talking about one topic tonight, and this will be a relatively shorter episode and as opposed to normal. But it's not exactly a topic that we're... It's still one that we're still kind of in shock that it happened. The wrestling world was saddened this week with the news that one half of the Briscoes, Jay Briscoe, was killed in a car accident. And just all the thoughts, prayers, and everything else in the world to the Briscoe family, to that family, his brother Mark. And I always thought that Papa Mike was just one tough son of a bitch, but not even the toughest man is strong enough to bury their kid. And I can't imagine what that family's going through, and I don't think I want to. And I gotta say that seeing guys like the Viking Raiders, formerly War Machine, with their Dem Boys armbands, Kevin Owens sporting his, and Daniel Bryan and others, all who had worked with the guy, wearing their armbands in tribute. Which just goes to show that for a lot of these guys, it's more than just mute respect among coworkers. It can transition into something more. A brotherhood, even a family. And for a lot of these guys, they were, especially those that worked with him in Ring of Honor, they were that close-knit. And Jay Briscoe, honest, is one of the first wrestlers that when I first started watching Ring of Honor, just drew me in. It's just the authenticity, how the line between gimmick and kayfabe was just grayed out. And arguably watching him, when I finally got to watch him and Mark team up, I honestly thought I was watching one of the best damn tag teams that were out there right now. And I still believed that. And the last match that I got to witness was the dog collar match between the Briscoes and FTR, which I thought was just brutal, violent, and it was incredible, which furthered my belief that when it came to Jay Briscoe or him and Mark, that there was absolutely no way they could do a bad match. Just literally impossible. And if you had a Mount Rushmore of the guys of Ring of Honor, there is no way that you would not have Jay Briscoe on there. So, Jay Briscoe, hope you're telling everybody up in heaven to man up, reach for the skies. Thank you for everything. And you can tell by my voice, it's hard to even say this, man, but T5, speak your piece.
I don't even know how I follow that up. You just said everything that not only I was thinking, but that everybody's been saying since we got the news of Jay Briscoe's passing. Like, man, when I first got into Ring of Honor, that was one of the first people I saw was Jay and Mark Briscoe. That was one of the first matches I seen, that old grainy footage and everything. That was one of the first matches I saw. And I saw the Jay versus Mark match. like I was behind by maybe like a year or two after Ring of Honor had first came out. Cause you know, at that time we were going through like an odd period, you know, in the wrestling industry with WCW, ECW shutting down, TNA was still, you know, fairly new. And everybody, you know, the internet wrestling was, you know, internet wrestling community was just getting formulated. But you can Google and search, you know, for your favorite wrestlers and stuff like that. And, you know, that's how I messed around and tripped and found out about Ring of Honor. And come to find out, they had been around for a while by the time I got. Because, like, that was, like, a little bit before they went to HDNet.
Yep.
So I was behind by a while, but luckily, because of the internet, I was able to catch up. And the first thing, like, front and center was, like, the Briscoes, and they stood out like they were nothing I seen before. I'm like, man, look at these cats with the Confederate, with the old Confederate flag thing. And they, I thought they was like legit country. Come to find out, old Bobby Cruz from Sandy Fork, Delaware. I'm like, Sandy Fork, Delaware? Yeah. I'm like, Delaware? I'm like, how you country from Delaware? But you know, after a while, I was like, hey, I'm not gonna overthink it. These cats is wild. I like it. It's different. They were different. They stood out, and they style was just out there. And they had me hooked from Jump Street. And I was like, man, these cats is out here. And then, not even talking about the dang promos, man. Jay Briscoe was like one of the realest. You believe this dude was out to just beat somebody down. You just believed it. You believe he had bad intentions on his mind, man. And the chemistry between him and Mark in the promos was like bar none. They could just riff off the top of their dome, and he was just like the perfect rap duo. They could just riff off of each other and bam, 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 and it was perfect, flawless. Like they had been practicing that, and they didn't. Yep. And finding out like that ring at the on the farm was built by their parents. So they can practice wrestling, and they were self-taught. They did an interview with Jay's mother, and she told how, you know, the boys wanted to get into wrestling. They played football at first, but they wanted to get into wrestling. And they built them that ring, and they would watch film, watch tape. Saw what they would do wrong, saw what they wanted to work on, and just adjust. They were self-taught. Mm-hmm. And they were that dang good. And then, first off, I went backtrack and caught some old CZW footage when I first started getting into Ring of Honor. That's how I ended up getting into CZW around the same time. Combat Zone Wrestling. And I started finding out a bunch of new dudes because of CZW. But it was because of the Briscoes that I ended up finding about CZW. And then, like I said, that's when I first started getting into Ring of Honor. And that opened up. And man, like you were saying about the love they were receiving from all of the wrestling community, it's almost like that game, 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, how you can backtrack just about any actor all the way to Kevin Bacon. That's the same way with the Briscoes. They literally have crossed paths with your favorites in any company. Impact, current Ring of Honor, AEW, WWE, New Japan. I'd even go as far as saying pro wrestler Noah. Like, you could just about backtrack them to anybody. Yep. Just about. They cross paths with just everybody. The Viking Raiders, like you said, they had some good matches with them in Ring of Honor when they first got there. Because, like, the Viking Raiders, War Machine was super young.
Yeah.
When they debuted in Ring of Honor, and that was their first go. That was their first go round. That's where they debuted at.
Yep.
And who else? Oh man.
I mean, the Bucks, of course, they paid tribute.
Of course, the Young Bucks, the Motor City Machine Guns. The Kingdom, definitely the dang Kingdom.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Just about any tag team you could. Okay. This is a cool story. They talked to Kofi Kingston and Big E. They said they've never had the chance to wrestle them, but the New Day, the whole trio would watch tape of the Briscoes and borrow some of their moves because they were that good and they had that much respect for them. Yeah. That shows you how much the Briscoes transcended just Ring of Honor. You got people from other companies watching you and paying attention. And man, it just wasn't just the tag team, but like Jay Briscoe's singles run was like came out of nowhere. And I didn't know how to feel at first because I was a fan of the team. I didn't want Mark to get lost in the shuffle. But I was so into it too.
Yeah, because at that time,
At first I didn't want it to feel forced, but then it started to fit in like a glove, and it just fit so good that you ain't had no choice but to, like, you know what? I could see him as champ, and what the hell happened? He became champ.
Yeah.
Not once, but twice.
And let's go back to the first time when he won the belt. Kevin Owens, at that time, Kevin Steen, was leading Scum, and they were pretty much running roughshod in Ring of Honor. And then all out of nowhere, I get an alert that says Jay Briscoe becomes the Ring of Honor world champ. I'm like, what? And then I see the video.
I remember watching that one because I remember how Scum was running wild and everybody was clowning Scum for having Bill Compton.
Yep.
They was clowning everybody, and they had Matt Hardy and everybody. They had like a nice wild menagerie of people in Scum, and everybody loved that run for Kevin Steen. Kevin Steen had a monumental run, but it was the rise of Jay Briscoe that caught everybody's eye, and that's what I was like, man, like Jay Briscoe by himself is the badass too.
Yeah, and you know, I saw on Instagram one guy who definitely paying tribute because, without question, in his singles run, he was hands down Jay Briscoe's greatest rival, and that would be one Adam Cole. Like, in terms of feuds that Jay Briscoe had, that was the crown jewel.
I remember that one. Yeah, like you, like I said, the realness of Jay Briscoe, you just felt like it was like you really didn't like Adam Cole.
Yep.
The way he would cut into him, oh, pretty boy, you just felt like he did not like this dude, like he legit hated this dude. But according to Adam Cole, just pulling back the curtain, he was the nicest dude to him when he first got there. Because once again, Jay Briscoe was not only like their early Ring of Honor, he was on the first show in the first match. So he was like this dang near the gatekeeper of Ring of Honor, a Ring of Honor life. And when, of course, Adam Cole got there from CZW to ROH, baby, young babyface, still, you know, new Adam Cole, super nervous. Adam Cole got welcomed into the locker room by Jay Briscoe. And he made him feel welcomed and calm and everything. And little did we know later on that they would become like one of the best rivalries in Ring of Honor history. When he turned heel and he started wiling and they were going at the ROH championship, oh man, that was great. Because you just felt like he did not like him. Yep. And you felt like Adam Cole was super entitled, like he deserved that title. Man, that was so good.
Yep, and I remember one promo where Jay is saying, I didn't think it was possible for me to hate anybody the way that I hate Adam Cole. And that was before when he flashed his custom world title. And I'm like, oh, damn. And you're like, nope, only Jay Briscoe would do that.
Oh, man, I can't. Man, I'm glad. That's a good call. I remember when he came out with that custom-made Ring of Honor title. Because they had the two titles going on at the time.
Yep. That was his equivalent of the FTW belt.
Yeah. He was like, he's like, the only one I recognize is this one right here. And I was like, what? And then it looked cold-blooded, too. I was like, man, y'all about to do this? I said, oh, all right, I'm here for it. Let's go. Man, oh, he was so part of so many monumental moments, man.
Yeah,
like that one right there.
That was one, ooh. And I remember when he won the belt back. You know, everybody's all shocked that Jay Briscoe's the world champ. Why y'all so shocked for? Base mathematics, man. I'm like, damn.
Yep. Bruh, like you mentioned Kevin Steen earlier and their battle over the world title. Man, two cats that are currently part of like one of the greatest storylines in wrestling history right now. Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn as El Generico, commonly known at the time Steenerico, versus the Briscoes. Ladder War.
Oh, man.
Cold-blooded.
Got a ladder match with them. Then again, with the Briscoes, you add in a match that involves some kind of foreign object, whether it's ladders, tables, ladders and chairs, or dog collars. They'll make a freaking Picasso out of that mother.
And that's the thing about them. It's like, if you go look up what Cage Match or one of these other websites and you look up Briscoe's matches and you go down the line, I don't think they had a bad match in them. I don't think they had a subpar match in them.
Not a one. I mean,
like, you can go click, 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 double tap, swipe, double, whatever you gotta do, hit your mouse, click, click, and watch it, and you're like, oh, that's a banger. Like, oh, watch that one? Oh, that's a banger. And you wouldn't be disappointed at any one of them.
Yeah, and you know, one other feud that stands as one of my favorites that the Briscoes had, going years back with this one, Kings of Wrestling.
You know how I feel about that. Kings of Wrestling.
Yep.
Oh boy.
I mean,
that was the meat and potatoes right there, man.
I mean, you talk about, like, they didn't have a bad match in them. Like, you have, when you had the Kings of Wrestling and Shane Hagedorn, that six-man match, and they were going against Mark, Jay, and Papa Mike. And it still was excellent.
Man, that takes me back right there, man. You got two of my favorite teams, and you putting them, oh, man, I was like, I feel like I had to choose between two of my favorite kids or whatever, something, man. I was like, nah, can't do this.
Yep.
Then, I was like, man, the promo with Hero, oh, that boy cut it. Then Jay, oh, man, I got to go back. See, that's the type of stuff, man. Like, as messed up as situation is, it's also stuff like this to make you go and look back at a person's whole body of work. And at first, like, my whole YouTube timeline got flooded with nothing but Jay Briscoe pictures and videos and everybody talking about what happened and stuff. And I kind of wanted to skip over because the news just hit you, and you didn't want to hear it again because that just make it even more realer the more you heard it over and over and over again. But when it comes to, like, the matches, you were like, man, I want to see more of these promos. I want to see more of these videos because that's that man's legacy. That's that man's body of work. That man gave his life. He put his body on the line to entertain us, the fans. And he was so given to his fans, too. Like, wrestling aside, this dude was such a cool dude to his fans. And he was such a family dude, too. Like, we hear a lot about these wrestlers that do have the families and stuff. And the first thing they want to do is get back to their family. That was Jay. If his family wasn't with him, he was trying to get back to him. Kevin Steen was telling a story about, him and Jay, like, just sitting in the back talking about their families.
Yep.
And for those of us who just know him as Jay Briscoe, the wrestler, you would not picture that unless you know about his family, you know about him or whatever. You'd be like, man, just sitting in the back there talking about their families and stuff. And another thing, man, the FTR feud, let's like we talk about all his Ring of Honor stuff. I remember when FTR first got their release and everybody found out they were going to AEW, worst kept secret ever. The first thing everybody thought about other than the Young Bucks was, we got to see them go against the Briscoes. Because at the time, Ring of Honor was still up and running. The first thing everybody was saying, we got to see them go against the Briscoes. We got to see them go against the Briscoes. And me and you kind of manifested this into the ether. We were both like, man, you know it'd be a fire match? The Briscoes and FTR. And next thing you know, like, lo and behold, like, out of nowhere, it was like, like a Twitter post or something.
Yep.
A cut the promo. And we were like, oh, snap, dude, did you see it? What are you talking about? Did you see it? It's on Twitter. Everybody was talking about. You got them out there. Next thing you know, you got the Briscoes out here cutting a promo on the farm. You're like, y'all can't do that. Y'all not in the same company.
Yep.
So you're like, man. Next thing you know, FTR clap back. Y'all can't do that. Y'all not in the same company. how are they gonna do this? Then when they pulled up, what was it? Death Before Dishonor? I forgot what pay-per-view it was.
That was it. That was Death Before Dishonor.
And then FTR pulled up? Oh, snap! Everybody lost their mind. I was watching the show, and I was sitting in there chilling, and the Briscoe just had a fire match. Next thing you know, FTR pulled up. I was like, hell no. Hell no. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. I tell you, I always say this. I mark out the very little things, except for something freaking huge. This is something I've been wanting a long time. You know I was losing my damn mind that afternoon. I was losing it.
Yep.
When FTR pulled up in a Ring of Honor ring, I was losing it. This is everything I had been throwing out there into the universe, and the universe caught it. Finally caught it. And like, dude, those promos that they were just cutting on each other, dude, they were so... You, man. Tony Khan, pull, man, we gonna make a little patch for you. You can pull that private jet. Yep. I was like, chill out, Jay, bro, chill out.
And then when Ring of Honor went under, and then later on, Tony Khan announces he's bought Ring of Honor. I'm like, okay, you got no excuses now. Make it happen, and ding, ding, we get it.
Did we? At that time, we were like, okay, so who do we send these edible arrangements to? Jacksonville? Yep. Chicago? Where do we send them? Where's the office at? Where do we send this edible arrangements at? So this is everything we've always wanted. I was like, you know what? I don't think it gets any better than this.
Really doesn't. And man, all three of those matches were just fire.
To borrow a line from Sheamus and the Brawling Brutes, they were bangers after bangers after bangers.
Big time. I mean, first you had just a regular match. Then we had the 2 out of 3 fall match. Then we get the dog collar match.
You were like, okay, 2 out of 3, 4. Like, yeah, how are you going to... Well, first of all, we didn't know how they were going to pull that one off. And they did. And we didn't know... We didn't think we were going to get another one. Because it just happened so suddenly.
Right.
And they were like, next thing you know, you got the Ass Boys on TV talking about, oh, we got a present for you guys. And it's the Briscoes and these dog collars. You like, oh, what? Final battles? Double? Like, at the first, we were still in shock.
Yeah.
But then the fact that you said double dog collar, after you got the minute to process, you were like, how the hell are they going to pull this one off? But then you thought about the two teams involved. And you were like, you know what? I trust them. I'm here for it. Let's go.
And lo and behold, one of the bloodiest fights we've seen, but also, because before, the last dog collar match we saw was the one between MJF and CM Punk. Good as that was, this one beat it by a country mile.
Instant class. Instant classic.
I mean, I was like, that match was so bloody. I'm amazed they didn't pass out from blood loss.
Man, I didn't know how they was gonna pull it off, but they did. And then it was definitely one of those hold my cup. Cause I was like, man, you thought our last one was a banger. Hold my cup. And I was like, you ain't lying.
Yeah,
because we all thought the 2 out of 3 fall was the banger. Yeah, we thought the first one was a bang. This one banged hard.
Yep. I mean, that was just a testament to just how good both those teams were.
Right. And, like, to come to find out, you know, like, they are so good at what they do, because they had us all believe like they didn't like each other at all. Like they'll do the business, but they didn't like each other. Come to find out, peel the curtain back, they're just as cool with each other. They're just as nice, talking to each other about their kids and families, sharing beers and a bottle of tequila. Man, that's what you like to hear. You know, of course you want, if you want the, you know, the realism and the, oh, they don't like each other. I love it. I love it. They're going to fight. They're going to beat each other up. But you also want to hear the humanity of it. Because at the end of the day, they're human beings. They're family men. And you want to hear about the camaraderie in the locker room and stuff. You love hearing these stories when they break character and tell these stories like Adam Cole did, like Steen did. You know, you love hearing that sort of thing. And man, I still kind of feel some sort of way when I hear Dax Harwood. Like he won they had the Fightful awards, wrestling awards, the other night, and they happened to get FTR and the Briscoes won the award for match of the year, tag team match of the year, and they actually had Dax Harwood tape a acceptance, and it was after hearing about the passing. Now they gave him a chance, you know, hey, if you want, we can wait and do another one later. He's like, nah, I want to do this. So he sent it in, and he talked about how giving the Briscoes were and Jay was, and how, you know, they would just sit in the back after and just talk. And it wasn't even about wrestling. It was about the families and stuff. And sit there and share a beer together and everything. And I was like, that's the stuff I like to hear. About the humanity of these dudes. Not, you know, they're great, excellent performers. Excellent performers. But you want to hear, like, these just being regular dudes at the end of the day.
Yep.
I love that part.
You know, I remember on Impact, I forget which pay-per-view it was, but you had the Good Brothers, the Briscoes, and all of a sudden, you got America's Most Wanted come in, and all three teams sharing a beer right dead center in the ring. And I loved seeing that moment.
Dude, that was dope as hell, because they just got through having a fire match. That was the Gauntlet match.
Yep.
And next thing you know, America's Most Wanted came out. I was like, what is going on right now? Because they had like, all the fire tag teams you could think of was in that match, man.
Yep.
And next thing you know, AMW comes out, and they're out there sharing a beer with the Good Brothers and Briscoes. For one, the Briscoes being in Impact, for one, was a shock.
Oh, yeah. I marked out hard for that.
Real hard. And they had some bangers there while they were there, because they had some dope teams. They had the Good Brothers, they had the Motor City Machine Guns, they had the Kingdom pop up as Honor No More,
and they had Violent by Design.
They had Violent by Design. They had Ace and Bate had just started tagging together, because they just got Ace Austin to join Bullet Club.
Right.
What else? Man, they had so many gangster teams at that time, all fighting for the belt. And the Briscoes won. I was like, what? So you can add Impact tag team champions to their resume too? bored.
Yep. I remember when they went against Violent by Design to take the belts. I thought, Violent, they call themselves Violent by Design. The Briscoes are Violent by Birth.
Word.
It's like they were violent becoming the second they were born.
I was like, yeah, bro. Good luck with that.
Yep. But you know, I'll go even further with this. I still remember the first promo I ever saw, because I started watching Ring of Honor when HDNet started showing them. And I remembered it was just a backstage promo, just a vignette. Mark was still not back from injury, because at the time it was collateral damage from the feud with the Age of the Fall. But I remember seeing Jay Briscoe, and he's like, it's your boy, the Briscoes, a.k.a. them boys. And he's just doing his thing and saying that, got my brother Mark back here. Look at this handsome guy, and Mark flashing that partially toothless grin. I'm like, oh, man. But I remember the first world title match I saw for Ring of Honor that was on HDNet. It was Jay Briscoe versus Nigel. And,
ooh, yeah.
And man, that was just a banger of a match. Even though, like, Jay didn't come out on top, I remembered him, he went to war with Nigel, and it all came down to that sick ass looking jawbreaker lariat from Nigel. Which, look, no disrespect on JBL's, because I know he really made that clothesline from hell look brutal. Nigel, he made that clothesline look like a slap on the wrist.
He took your head off. Well, I remember that match. That was one of the first matches I caught from them too. And man, that boy, Nigel, that clothesline, that lariat would take your damn head off, man. He made that thing look sick.
Yep. And then Mark finally comes back from injury. Steen and Generico lose the belts to the American Wolves. And then final battle. And Weather just really did a number on that show. But they were still able to make that work. And yeah, the American Wolves versus the Briscoes. And the Briscoes retake what's theirs. And then the first interview following winning the belts, I remember Jay getting on the mic saying, new year, same old story. Briscoe Brothers, baddest tag team on the planet. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, who the hell's going to challenge them?
Yeah, I remember that pay-per-view too, because they had, that was the snow pay-per-view, where they had like a lot of people that couldn't get in because they had like dang near blizzard.
Yep. They had that impromptu match with Teddy Hart and Jack Evans.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And they were still in their fucking street clothes.
I know, man. That's how much those two were used to wrestling each other, man.
Yep.
They can wrestle in their dang street clothes.
Yeah. Those were just my early memories with Ring of Honor. I just remembered loving every second of it. Like, it was renewing my faith in pro wrestling just from seeing that.
I think that's what a lot of people felt. That's what a lot of people's fondest memories of Ring of Honor are. And that's because at the same time, a lot of people felt the same way. They were looking for something else. Because, like I said before, WCW had got bought. ECW had went away. And everybody was looking for something else. And that's when they discovered Ring of Honor. And Ring of Honor kind of, it was so different. It was in the vein of ECW. Not because it was just, you know, in the Northeast and everything, but because, you know, it felt underground. Yeah. It was new. You saw people you recognize, but you also saw like a ton of dudes you didn't know about and you wanted to find out about. And that's what happened with, like, Nigel McGuinness, Brian Danielson, the Briscoes, dudes I ain't never heard of before, and end up like, man, who's this man? Who's this American Dragon dude I keep hearing about? Next thing you know, everybody you know or the internet's like, man, you don't know about him. You don't know about Brian Danielson? What's wrong with you? You don't know about the Briscoes, man? What's wrong with you? Man, you don't know about Nigel, man? Like, yeah, I know about Nigel. And by that time, TNA had already been popping for a while, and I seen Samoa Joe on there. Man, at the time, I did not know AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, a bunch of the dudes, Amazing Red, all wrestled in Ring of Honor. I was like, my mind was blown at that time. I was like, time out, flag on the play. Samoa Joe, yeah, he was the damn champ. I was like, what?
Then you find out he'd been champ for a year.
That's when he just came over to TNA. And next thing I'm finding out, I was like, wait, what? He did what? Yeah, dude. He was the longest reigning Ring of Honor champion. Where were they? I was like, what?
Yep.
And like, dang, their half their roster came from Ring of Honor. I was like, no way. Yes way.
And to this day, no one's broken that record.
Nope. Jay Lethal came close, but nope. And that's another thing. Jay Lethal. He was with Samoa Joe in Ring of Honor. He cut his teeth there. Did not know that until a lot later. And I was like,
and he was another one that was
gotta be cool.
He was another one sporting the armband too.
Oh, most definitely, because man, they had some good ones in Ring of Honor. Like Jay Lethal's run as world champ. Oh man.
Yeah, but
and, man.
Tell you one guy who definitely seemed like he was high on emotion over the unfortunate loss, Eddie Kingston.
Oh shit, they had some bangers in Ring of Honor. And CZW.
Yep.
But when you mentioned Age of the Fallen earlier, I wanted to mention Seth Rollins, formerly Tyler Black. He put out a good post himself. He said that there would be no Seth friggin' Rollins, no Tyler Black, if it wasn't for Jay Briscoe. If it wasn't for the Briscoes. Because Age of the Fallen was at the time, they were still finding their footing and everything.
Yeah.
And they helped make them. And I was like, man. And he told some stories and stuff about Jay, once again, about Jay Briscoe as a locker room dude. And that's, like I said, that's the type of stuff I like to hear and everything. But it also, same time, made you kind of emotional. It made you smile a little, but it also made you like, man. It just made you stop and like, man.
Yep.
Like, he affected so many people, like talking about, not only in the ring, but out the ring.
Yeah. I mean, I used to say with the Briscoes, they were the gold standard for tag team wrestling in ROH, but I think that's an understatement. I think they're a gold standard for a hell of a lot more. Like,
right.
Just, like, for me, the way I described Ring of Honor when I started watching it was, to me, it was pro wrestling in its purest form. It felt pure. It felt genuine to me. That's what drew me to it. That's why I loved it. And like so many different matches, so many different feuds, moments with the Briscoes. And one dream match that always, because everybody has those moments where you talk about if it, in a different time, if it, the match was possible, who would you like to see what tag team fight with who? And one that always kept repeating in my head was the Briscoes and the Dudley Boys. And people would say, oh, the Dudleys would handle that one. I don't know. I think if any team would be the underdogs in that fight, I would say it'd be the Dudleys, because I think the Briscoes would take them.
I was not expecting you to say the Usos, the Dudley Boys and the Briscoes. And you know what? That would have been a fire match, because they tagged with Bully Ray.
Yeah.
They won the six-man tag titles with Bully. And, you know, them versus Pete Dudley Boys, sign me up for that. That would have been dope as hell. Who would have won? That's tough.
It's tough.
I think the Briscoes might pull it out, but that's gonna be tough, cause man, the Dudley's been there and done that. They've done like some of the stuff the Briscoes went through. They crawled so the Briscoes can run. So I don't know, man. Then he got the experience too, the experience factor.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That I know it would have been a banger, 5-star banger right off the rip. Just putting that out there and get that out the way, that would have been a 5-star banger. But who would have won? I think the Briscoes might have eked it out because of the youth factor. That would have been fire.
Not just a youth factor. I think it's also just the fact that Jay and Mark Briscoe, they can take a lot of punishment, but also just dish out just as much. And somehow,
that's the thing about it. Team 3D can too. Like I said, they've been that ECW stuff. They've been through some wars, so they're like the grizzly veterans that have been there, done that. Like, yeah, you're gonna do a lot more than that, kid. But at the same time, the Briscoes have been through some stuff too. So you're kind of like, yeah, I think the youth factor, they could outlast them. We'll let them outlast them.
True. I mean it, and it. I'm like that. That one is one that I thought of, and another that I had crossed my mind, of course, mentioned them, was Briscoes and America's Most Wanted. Like when they were at their peak, that I think the Briscoes would come out on top, and I think that would be a banger match.
Man, I would rather see like the Briscoes and the Usos. That was my dream match.
Oh, there we go. Man, that would be epic.
On so many levels, not just the in ring, we know that's gonna bang, but the promos between the Briscoes and the Uso Penitentiary, I could just picture Jay Briscoe and Mark in the ring with the Usos, man, that would be so cold blooded.
Yep. Oh, but one promo I remembered, I couldn't find it. I would have posted it in the group, but I remembered loving after the war, that the one of the wars between Jay Briscoe and Adam Cole, Jay Briscoe finally wins the belt back from him. And he says, I know you're supposed to give credit where it's due. And I got to say this, Adam Cole, you still a little bitch.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. I remember busting up with that. He's like, and the kingdom still ain't shit. And the next thing he directed it towards Mike Bennett. Crack, like, ripping on them for renaming his belt, like, Jay's custom belt, the title of love. He's like, you got my belt. I want it back. I'm like, oh, man. And, you know, in my opinion, the belt that they had around that time with Adam Cole and Jay Briscoe, that to me was the best-looking ROH belt for the world title.
Hands down.
Because they changed from the old silver one, and then, like, they kind of, they had that one that was, it was okay when Davey Richards had it.
Yeah, I remember that one, yeah. I kind of liked that one.
It was okay, but then they changed it to the one that we saw when Kevin Steen had it, and then Briscoe and Cole, and I was like, now that's a belt.
Yeah.
So I would, but honestly, like, you talk about all the guys that would be responsible for Ring of Honor, or that were responsible for Ring of Honor, like Danielson, Nigel, and honestly, I don't think you would have Ring of Honor be, and that legacy be what it is without Jay Briscoe.
That's a fair assumption because he was A1 since day one.
Yep.
Literally. And that's before I even got into Ring of Honor. Cat was on first show. And he's been there ever since. From the first show to the last show, man. Just think about that.
Yeah.
He was like a Ring of Honor lifer. Like, everybody else came and left. Even Amazing Red went to Impact. Everybody came and left, man. Or even came, left, and came back. Some just came and left. Some came, left, and came back. He stayed the whole time. Ring of Honor was like, wasn't all he knew, but, you know, that was his home.
Yep.
That's where he made his bread and butter at and everything. He was synonymous with Ring of Honor. You thought about Ring of Honor, you thought about the Briscoes.
Yeah.
The Briscoes are in Ring of Honor. You thought of Ring of Honor, Briscoes, bam, bam, bam. And Jay, like at one point, he sat there and put that company on his back as world champion.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the kind of guy that he was. I mean, how we were talking about the bond with those guys and just how even, like, all these years still sticks, like, and you just admire that. I mean, I still remember the first time, because here's the thing, when you're talking about a wrestler or a celebrity that passed on that had such an impact, and it never gets any easier, the first one I ever did that for when I started podcasting, I still remember it, Larry Sweeney. Because when I first started watching Ring of Honor, first thing I remembered seeing was him when he had the stable Sweet and Sour Incorporated.
Sweet and Sour, boy, that takes me back.
Yep, he had the Wolves, he had Cerro Del Rey, he had Chris Hero, and then he was gone, Hagedorn took over, and then you get the word that he died. And, you know, we talk about Eddie Kingston. That's two guys he knew from Ring of Honor that are now gone. In Jay Briscoe and Larry Sweeney.
Mm-hmm.
And he was close with both those guys.
Yep.
I mean, I like that shot I saw Eddie Kingston holding up a sign saying Jay Briscoe forever. But it hurts the fact that not only that we lost him and he was not only at a young age, but still going strong. I mean, shit, him and Mark were the current champs. Now what happens with that? Who knows? And does Mark keep going? I don't know. I mean, I remembered watching when they wrestled in TNA, and that was when Jay was 18 and Mark was 17 years old. And I was like, God damn. And trust me, they didn't look anything like they did now.
Heck no. they transformed so much over the years, man. Not just the attire, but the whole look, dude. I remember they looked like little baby face hillbillies. I'm like, man, they barely had little shaved hair, and Jay had a little buzz cut, and now look at him. I mean, man, I'm like, bro, y'all, they changed so much over the years, man. But it's like, it's weird, because like, it's like we grew up with them. From where they at, where they started at, to where they at now, man. It's weird.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, I don't know where, like, man, because, yeah, Jay and Mark both had their singles runs and everything, but, man, to be in that company without him, because, you know, even though they were in singles and stuff, the single stuff, they still travel together.
Yeah.
That's his brother, man.
And Mark got into the business with him.
Right. He just couldn't be on TV because he was so young.
Yeah.
But he was still in the corner. They still let him be in the corner, though.
Right.
Until he turned 18, which is wild. but, yeah. I don't, man. Like, when I first heard about it and stuff, and, like, the next day, you know, we found out that it was Mark's birthday. And you're like, oh, jeez, dude. Like, there's no way you can deal with something, you can think about something like that, like, right after you found out your brother passed. I'm like, wow.
Yep.
That's gotta be the most for him, because, you know, like I said, he's always been with him, and to be without him is gotta be weird.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I don't know if he decides to come back in honor of his brother, or if he just, you know, he can't do it. Because I wouldn't begrudge him if he couldn't do it.
I wouldn't blame him. I would act, if he said that he's done, that it just wouldn't be the same without him, I wouldn't blame him on that.
I 100% feel him on that one. I 100% understand. And as far as the tag titles go, I've heard like a lot of good, you know, interesting scenarios. One of my favorite ones was that they go the Brody Lee route, where they retire that one belt and they make the Briscoes the forever champs with that belt, but they introduce a new one because they have a belt maker on retainer.
I like that idea.
They make a new belt and they have a tournament and they make it the Jay Briscoe Cup.
I like it. I like that a lot, actually, because...
And you introduce, like, new teams. One team that came to mind was Top Flight.
Yeah, which, by the way, Sorry, I was just going to say, that was a big win for them on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, huge win. And the thing about it was, not only did the Young Bucks pull out the Doomsday device in honor of Jay, and they had the armbands on, but you couldn't find out. Darius Martin had posted, I think it was on Instagram or social media, that a couple, like about a, when they first got to AEW, I think it was, that he, after one of their matches, he had got a DM from Jay Briscoe, saying how much he enjoyed their match and, you know, he couldn't wait to rip it up with them. And I was like, wow. I was like, they had never wrestled before. I don't know what the interactions was and stuff, but they had never wrestled before. And you got, you know, Jay Briscoe texting you saying, hey, man, you had a fire match. I enjoyed your match. Da-da-da-da. I was like, wow, that was dope. And they've been known for putting dudes over. And I think that was kind of what the Young Bucks were thinking, too. This is definitely what Jay would have did.
Yeah. Putting them over, kind of like what the Briscoes have done in their careers. So, yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
Right, but I would definitely have, like, Top Flight and a lot of the young tag teams in that Ring of Honor, like a J Cup, and make that an annual thing Ring of Honor for the tag team division to put over new teams and to give teams some shine, tag teams some shine in Ring of Honor, and, you know, retire those current belts and make some new ones. And that was the best idea I heard recently.
Yep. I mean, it further would immortalize the Briscoes in Ring of Honor history. Not that that was ever in jeopardy, but just more so. And to have something like that dedicated in the memory, I like that. I like that a lot.
It would keep his name out there forever. As long as Ring of Honor was a thing, it would keep his name out there. Like, if you go look up somebody's Wikipedia or cage side thing and they say, two-time J Cup winner, you're like, oh, that's the Jay Briscoe.
Staying interested in WWE takes everything you got. AEW TV, sports, and movies help a lot. There's two guys with a lot to say. That's why you gotta hang with Sean and Travis and their show. Variety Bites take it to go. Bringing you laughs and rants and shit, even when Sean's to blame. At Variety Bites, everybody knows your name. Wrestling, sports, movies, TV, it isn't all the same. At Variety Bites, everybody knows your name.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.